M1 is the finance super app where you can invest, borrow, save, and spend all in one place. You set your strategy, and they automate it for free in an easy-to-use app. M1 is making money management easier, smarter, and more automated than ever. If you're like me and you struggle to make time for investing, or anything really, M1 is the best set-it-and-forget-it investing app I've ever used. Go to m1finance.com/Katoon to get started today and earn $30 to invest after you fund your account. Terms and conditions apply. M1, yours to build. Okay, so I usually can do like a long intro explaining things before the show. I talk a lot about whatever this episode is about or what I'm going through or thinking about before I talk to people. This one needs no introduction. It's Pete Wilkins, HPA. If you're from the Chicago community, you definitely know Pete. If you're not from the Chicago community, you might still know Pete. And he's on here to schlep a book that I think everyone should check out. I just picked it up and held it. You probably can't see it because it's audio, but I'm going to hold the book up anyway.
If you did see it, you would be odd, wouldn't you? It's
you would be. You would be. I have known you for a while now, and I have known this concept of purpose-driven is something that you've talked about a lot. You've been on the live radio show. You've been on the podcast before. You've spoken at some of our events years in the past. I know you've talked about it really everywhere in Chicagoland and probably beyond that. We're going to talk a lot about a bunch of different stuff in this show. Some of it I think is probably obvious to entrepreneurs, and it's going to be like, oh, it's, you know, things that you may have heard, but maybe not heard this way about what it takes to be an entrepreneur or maybe what it doesn't take in some cases. But I really do want to focus a good portion of this show on the health part. There's a chapter in your book 10. This is not necessarily relative to the health part exactly, but the concept being startup is like an athlete. And the body is something that I think most founders sort of just like myself included, just sort of take for granted. And it's like, oh, who gives a shit? I'll focus on my fat later. And in reality, it's all sort of part of this whole thing. And I've been tweeting a lot about it recently. And so the timing is perfect. And so you sent the book. I gravitated to that chapter immediately. But before we dive into all this crazy stuff, I want to get some plugs out for those who don't know you, who you are. Get some background here, and I'm going to pretend I don't know you so I can ask good questions. And then let's dive into sort of the origin of purpose-driven, what it means to you, how far you take this. I think some people sell books and classes and master classes on how to do things, but they don't really live them. I think you're a person who lives them. So I'm curious to hear the origin of this and obviously share with people who, you know, who you are again.
Yeah, happy to do it. I mean, I think that fundamentally what I am or who I am, the purpose-driven leader, and I think that actually originated from my youth and has extended throughout my life and what allowed me to achieve success and overcome failure. So from if you look at who am I or what do? I am the managing director of the most active venture group in Chicago, HPA. And my latest book is Purpose First Entrepreneur. You can go to purposefirstentrepreneur.com or those that have trouble spelling entrepreneur, which is I'm included.
Yes.
But you can go to purposefirst.com. You can download the workbook for free. It's a companion piece to the book. I will say the book, I made it as cheap as possible. So if you got a Kindle, you can get it for less than a cup of coffee. And that if you like a hardcover or paperback, those options are available. But, you know, fundamentally, this is something that I have infused in everything that I've done. It has intrigued me to, or it has compelled me rather, I've been intrigued for sure, but what has it compelled me to see if my perspective really stands the test of time. So I overlaid a lot of my methodologies that I've used as an operator, and to give some sense, as I've operated in venture capital and private equity, I did a turnaround for one of the largest private equity firms called KKR. I've been involved in a number of startups that had tremendous success from an exit perspective. From those perspectives, I looked at, you know, what drives success from my view methodologies, and I overlaid that. Then I looked at a lot of behavioral research that you start to get evidence in how do you come about decisions and how does that matter? So I wrapped all of that, which is about a decade worth of work, and started communicating that probably 7 years into that journey. And that compelled me about 5 years into it. It's like, well, I got to move it out of PowerPoint into a book. And then you get a sense of, you know, that I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, certainly when it comes to writing. But it took me about 5 years to get it into the form it is in. But I will say, like, I wanted to be able to talk about how this philosophy, purpose, can be translated into performance that can be measured by results. And so there was a practical nature, was beyond philosophically, that I think we can orient around, but how do you actually translate that into your life? And the book does that. And the companion workbook is for those that really want to get practical about it and turn it into reality. You know, long story short is this experience throughout my career as a serial entrepreneur and a venture capitalist has informed my position on this book, and hopefully people will benefit from it.
Do you think, so I think the concept of like purpose-driven is something that I think it doesn't necessarily get used in the context that you use it, but there's definitely a lot of this, like, I don't know, like pushback on entrepreneurs who are sort of, you're not saying that they're doing things willy-nilly, like no one's not doing things not on purpose, but they're not thoughtful about it. And I think one of the things that sort of stands out to me is when I think of the book and I think of just you in general, and I think of probably all the people out there who should probably read the book, for you, I believe actions and intentions start much earlier than they show themselves. And what I mean by that is, for an average Joe, for myself, I might show up and say, hey, I'm going to be here, Pete. I'm going to try to do some sales work. I'm going to get this going. I'm going to raise around. I'm going to do whatever. For me, it might mean that I just woke up today and I decided, here's a list of people I know and I'm going to ping them and we're going to try to raise some money. For you, I feel like saying I'm going to go raise money or I'm going to do this starts like way back there. It's like starting in the morning, like 7 weeks ago, planning it out, penciling down what your OKRs are, getting your body and your mind and your spirit and the whole thing in shape, all to show up at that moment. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that that is one of the identifiable characteristics of successful entrepreneurs that I've seen time and time again, repeat time and time again, is it's not just like that they know something and they can pick up on it. They're not reactive. They're very proactive. They have a very, like, they know exactly, it's like Tom Brady in football. They know exactly what drives performance. They know what drives their ability to do it sustainably. They know what it drives to be able to do it agile. Like, all those things are about control. And I think if I dig into I've only read 3 chapters. So for people who are listening, I have not read the whole book yet, but I do think that when I dig into this, what it's going to show is sort of a confirmation of that like you have to take your whole being in essence, at least in some point, seriously and plan it out and have a purpose behind everything. Is that accurate or are you?
So this is what I will say is I think that purpose is a exponential impact on your life if you can harness it in a meaningful way.
Yep.
Because I think that is, and I get into that both as a motivator, which I think is critical, and also, helping you from a resilience standpoint, which I think is critical. So I think that you have to be motivated and you have to be resilient to be a good entrepreneur. There are a lot of failures that you got to overcome, and you got to be driven to make a decision that, you know, you're going to achieve something that's impossible.
You mostly just get kicked in the teeth, to be totally honest. It's the good days, usually the good day still has a couple things that are like,
yeah, 100%. But I am not, and this book chooses not to go into purpose, people with, I would say, misaligned purpose. But that is a purpose and that is a driver. And it doesn't even matter if their views in society are not viewed as being pure. Yeah. I identify purpose, and you could apply it to the equation, the purpose first performance equation. It could be neutral, but if it's something that drives somebody, it will impact their behavior, which I talk about performance. The thing that I would also say is, yes, I am a methodical individual, and you could look at, like, through my childhood, why that makes sense, and there's a lot of that in the book. Yeah. So you get to know me, and I will tell you, it's probably one of the more revealing things that I've ever done, and expressed a lot of stuff that a lot of people don't know. But The thing that I would say is there's not necessarily a pattern of like approach. I think that I've learned that, and I would say that that is not necessary. I think that there needs to be, and I think success, you start to grab a handle around it or grab control around it, is around decisions. So if you are an entrepreneur that realizes that you're making decisions and you can orient yourself around what's my focus, pair that with what's the new data points, what I'm aware of what's going on, not what I perceived or what I project, but where I am. So awareness. And then from a mindset perspective, you know, what kind of cognitive bias might I be applying to the new information that I'm receiving against the old information that I had to the decision I make? And that is very simple, because I put in the book a decision tree, and I often say, what's my desired outcome in this moment in time? Am I purposeful in what I'm doing? That means, do I know what I want my outcome to be? Is it aligned with what I am trying to do? And then I'll measure, like, what were the results? And I think that I will say that the entrepreneurs that are successful, whether they knowingly do this or unknowingly do this, they are making decisions in a consistent pattern based on ever-changing data to do that. And no. So I don't think you have to be like how I am or Tom Brady is.
Yep.
And I think I could go on around that. That I would orient around that, but you're talking about the athlete component, and I call it a startup athlete. Like, I will explain why I think thinking of it in that way will apply to your decisions. And then I can talk about how purpose kind of is infused and intersects in that performance to drive those results.
I want to do that, because like I came up into entrepreneurship. I probably told you this. Like I grew up in a family, like one side of my family, it's like teachers, and you know, the men are quote unquote entrepreneurs in that they all make their own money building cars and selling them, rebuilding houses, flipping houses, doing all this kind of stuff. But there's no one like tech. There's no one doing stuff like even remotely close to the kind of things that I get involved in. When I was in grad school, coming after a little bit of time doing real estate and all this kind of stuff, I kind of like identified there's a commonality between the way the military operates and trains and the way that I thought entrepreneurship could be. And I patterned a lot of my decision-making and measurement and tracking of the, from a strictly business perspective, around military, a lot of these after action reviews. And I would look at that as like kind of a postmortem on every decision and sales and yada, yada, hiring and firing. And just everything was very methodical, not as detailed probably as you, but I had like this kind of sheet. It was like 8 pieces, 8 check marks. There was 3 types of innovation that I was trying to always kind of track, and it missed some things, a lot of human elements, a lot of parts that like in a machine that works in a callous environment, like military can be, you don't really have time to be like, so how are you feeling today? Like, it's just sort of the shit that just hit the fan, like we're going. And I think in the early, like 2010, 11, 12, like a lot of entrepreneurs and founders were doing this military talk. There was a lot of this kind of analogy, and it's kind of gone to the wayside. Now I think it is towards the athlete, which we're going to get into next, but there's a reason for that. And I think the reason on the athlete side of this, the human being, the mental and physical emotions and all these things have to be accounted for. Cause while yes, getting tackled in a football game certainly might hurt, it's not the same as heading down range. And we're recording this on Veterans Day. So like that's the announce irony is everywhere today. But I guess what I'm trying to go with this is it was only when I started to look at the whole body, and I still fall off the wagon constantly and whatever, but it was only when I started to realize like I can only be operating at a certain level here if I'm in control here and in control here. And oh, in order to do that, there's things with my diet. There's things with cholesterol, blood pressure, sleep that will have a major impact on what my decision-making is here and my capabilities to make decisions under fire. And then if I get to this next level, it's like clarity in my mind. And that plays a role in how I'm clear in dictating terms as a, you know, operator, if you will. All these things roll together. And I think this is the part that you really covered in the book that I want to really dig into, not just about the book, but just actual real life practice. I know that you've done the Chicago Wellness Challenge for several years. You're a big believer in physical fitness, and I guess I want to talk very specifically to entrepreneurs listening to the show about, it's not telling you how to live your life, but call it friendly suggestions of things that you should probably be considering.
To your point, you can either discover your purpose or your purpose can find you. And that's A-OK. And I think a lot of people kind of back into it because they find a problem that they have a solution to or a need that they can provide value. There's value creation. If they do it well, they're solving a problem for a specific population and that population will benefit. And, you know, from that perspective, orienting around how, if I do my business well, how do I benefit people and be able to interpret that? And I think that, let's just say it is as bare bones and you can't squeeze anything out of it that people have value, which I would always debate. But let's just say it's an economic engine that you employ one person, which would be yourself, or multiple people, you are creating value in the community. But I think there's much more than that. I think the fundamental thing as an athlete, getting oriented around your values, give you the pillars that really create the foundation for ultimately the trials and tribulations that you're going to encounter. And like those can be things that I refer to as circumstances that go into this performance equation that I think that fundamentally will help you orient around this startup athlete idea. That said, let's just say, Scott, you are purpose is aligned, your purpose pillars are stood up, and you got a good sense of what you're doing. Fantastic. What I would tell you is that it's not only the health perspective, but as a startup athlete, is knowing the landscape that you are, you know, what's the playing field that you're getting involved in. And I think that is really critical as an entrepreneur, because if you don't realize what this dynamic, ever-changing startup ecosystem is, you might be on the wrong playing field. And I think that orientation of what that is becomes really important. I think the other thing is the idea of having great fans. Like, and there is plenty of evidence to show that your probability of the things that we're talking about from a health perspective are going to be incredibly influenced by the people you hang around and the people that you value their opinions. And so, but that's even when I applied this to a business, depending on who they are, you get a choice. Do you want those fans, you know, in the stadium? Or is it better just to say, hey, I'm going to terminate that relationship because it's not supporting me in what I need to do? And so I think that especially those toxic relationships, they're going to compromise your ability to perform enormously.
Yeah.
And probably more than your overall decisions. And then the other thing that I will talk about in the book, or I explain, and I think is connected, is like, you're very, very unlikely to be doing this alone. So how do you build your team? How do you create the culture, even if it's of two, even if it's you and three freelancers or 100 freelancers? Like, what is winning to us besides winning? And how do we win together? And so those dynamics become critical to what we're going to talk to, what you're asking me about. And I think that's fundamentally putting yourself in the best position to make the best decisions possible. And that, you know, once again, there is evidence from elite athletes to first responders to elite military. Everybody goes through the same mechanics of how do I get my body optimized to perform? And, you know, you can break it down into like three simple concepts that kind of move around the idea of what do I put into my body? How do I allow my body to recover? And how do I prepare my body to perform? And I think then you can break that down as performance is not only physical, which many people orient around, but it's mentally and emotional. And so I think that in order to make the best decisions as a startup athlete, you look at the team you're on, the fans you're on, the playing field that you're playing on. And then you have the opportunity day in, day out to figure out how do you do the things that you need to do in order to perform the best on the field every day. And it translates back to those elements. And I think the more you're in tune to that, and I will tell you that data will show that the more your body has some perspective of recovery, you are emotionally charged and mentally sharp. And that can be through recovery or meditation or a number of things. You're going to perform better. And that just, like, you can debate it or not, like, but it is, if you believe in data to show performance, you'll see that that is pretty consistent.
I totally agree with you. And I'm a person who, honestly, I do believe in data driven. I sometimes I'm neglectful and I get into bad patterns, not dissimilar from a lot of people. But I do think that having awareness of what I should be paying attention to personally, physically, mentally, professionally, otherwise, has been a really good guiding force. And over time, and honestly, a lot of it's attributed to you and sort of the watching you talk about the stuff. Whoop app is an example of this. Having some of these guys on, Go Forward is another tool that is in the healthcare space that I've started working with and having the CEO on and learning about all these different kind of ways to take care of your body. I'm learning as I go. I'm figuring out how to find the certain data pieces that matter more to me and how they work in my own head and my own, and I put them in play. Just giving you an example, for people out there who use the Whoop app, you know, you can actually add, you know, did you drink today? Did you have enough water? Did you stretch? Did you do this? Did you do that? You can have a list like 55 things long. And at the end of every single time when you check in your sleep and recovery, you can click on all the ones. You already know this, obviously, Pete. I got to a point where I had like 50 things. I was just like, this is stupid. Like, about 7 or 8 months, I was like, there's like 5 things that determine whether or not I probably have good recovery. Did I eat clean food or did I eat shitty? Did I eat late? The more I learned about myself, the more I figured out how I want to be, the more I was able to, like, again, I fall on and off the wagon, but like the more I figure out how I want to live, and this is on a personal side, but I think it does lean into to professional. You start to find the people that support your mission, or they find you, you find them, however you want to look at it. And you start to really clearly identify those who are not.
Yeah.
And I started just letting nature take its course. These were the ways that I wanted to improve. This is who I wanted to be. This is how I get to be the best me personally, happiness, stick to family, whatever it is. You know, it may not be that way. Maybe you're better off, you know, chasing and going crazy. Who knows? But for me, this was better. And as the people and the influences that were not good for that reared their head, you get rid of them, or you just keep moving forward and they eventually just go away. And I think it has also grown and been a valuable lesson into professional. You start to find people in your business. You want to have this business run a certain way. You want to have accountability. You want to have people who know the data. You want people who know what you need to know to create visibility as a leader. You start leading by example and you start to find the right people attracting to your company. They want to come work for you because you kind of exude what they're looking to do in their career. So I think the affirmation of what you're saying is super clear. And I think as a person who's reading this book for the first time, maybe, and thinking like, this is new to me, you know, I didn't think about it this way, I think you'd start seeing immediate results, I guess is my point.
I know that you are introducing yourself to the book, and I fully appreciate that. I mean, what you are saying, it does. And I think that it is helping you stand up, like from an orientation. You might not have a master purpose. You might have a, you know, directional purpose. But if you look at the purpose pillars, the things you just talked about, honor, love, wellness, and goodness, of how do you build that into your life? I think that it speaks to exactly what you were talking about.
Yep.
You look at how does that manifest itself into your work life? So it doesn't have to be a startup. It's going to be just what's your vocation. I think that then looking at how do you make decisions to fulfill and manifest those things, both your purpose and your values represent and how you live. And it allows you to calibrate and put yourself in a position to be successful. I think entrepreneurs have a unique element, or leaders have a unique element. And I think this is critical, is like, if you don't have direction and a foundation of values established, it's pretty hard to lead with those.
Yeah.
So like, I really challenge leaders, like, where are you? And if you can't articulate that, it's unlikely you're going to be able to consistently lead like that. I also think about, you know, like the great coders, they can write like 3 lines when other people have to write 30. Like, I think it's how many things can I align in my life that creates focus on what will create value for me and others with doing the least amount of work. And so, like, once you start aligning these things, personal and professional, which I talk about, it blends itself. At least that's my view, because they are built on it. Doesn't mean like they don't compete for time.
Sure.
It doesn't mean that they're perfect, but those are like, I try to really articulate this so people can get their heads around it in their own way.
I think it's gonna be really hard to be like, I hear this sentence from people, you know, in the entrepreneur world, you can choose these things. You can be a good dad, a good husband, or a good leader, but you can't do all three. It's like, get the fuck out of here. Yes, I can. And I do. Thank you. Like, I have multiple jobs. I have a wife who seems to like me and kids who I get plenty of time with. And I do that because I blend these together. I don't have Scott at home and Scott here and Scott there. It's just, this is who I am. I have my phone. I got work coming in. I'm looking at data. I create channels to create visibility, to create time saving so that I don't have to go crazy. I know what I need to know. And I do the things I have to do to have the ability to reach that when I need it. And then you have to prioritize. Sometimes you miss work things for family, and sometimes you miss family things for work. And that's just life.
Once you establish your pillars, and I think that you know what they are, and there's an element of reflecting on them. And I, once again, like, I don't have, this is the way to do it. I can tell you how I do it, but the book definitely demonstrates, here's some framework to think about. But what I will say is, if you're not revisiting those pillars and thinking about how do I manifest them in some way on a regular basis, and I talk about this in this whole work-life balance thing, which I don't think you can achieve work-life balance if that's, balance is your objective. But if your objective is to nurture the things that are important to you, you can. But I think you got to keep them focused. And I think what you'll see, and I speak to this, is once it's out of kilter because it's not in focus, you don't attend to it. You don't nurture it. And when you need it, and I will tell you, you might achieve tremendous success. There's no one there to share it with you that's truly your friend. Or on the flip side, and like, as you know, Scott, like, I've experienced some personal health trauma recently. Like, it was as like the afterword in the book really speaks to it, is like everything that you've been building goes away because the only thing that matters is your health. Yep. Who's around you? It's going to be like, fundamentally, it is like front and center, like go from, you know, 60 to zero, and who's standing, you'll see really quick. And it's actually not because of anyone else, it's because of you and the relationships you built, who's going to surround you. And so, like, you know, what people sometimes think, well, I need to have 4 hours with my wife and 2 hours with my son and 3 hours with my three daughters. And it's just a matter of having attention and routines. And from that perspective, how do you attend to it? Because if you don't, it goes away and it atrophies, and that's bad.
You're 100% right. So I'm right now literally on the right side of the screen while I'm talking to you. I've got our Gecko board for one of the companies. Like, there's like 7 boxes on it. Each per company is different boxes. This is life to me. Like, I don't think some people maybe are born. Like Tom Brady, who knows? Maybe he was born wired a certain way. I kind of don't think so. I think he learned over time in the NFL, and as he got coaching and access to things, how to like work his body and his mind and prepare for games better and yada, yada. But I think over time, if you're paying attention, you should be identifying certain traits, personal, professional, otherwise. Some of them are literally crossed. And if you're not purpose-driven, if you're not in pursuit of something, it really doesn't matter. Like, it's your choice to live how you want. But I think when we get to like people who are trying to, and I assume that's people listening to this podcast, and I assume people reading your book, who are trying to achieve more, I think you have to start to open your eyes and look at ways to calculate and track and have create visibility into your business the same way you do your life. And whether that's Whoop or going to I'm doing this go forward thing. Like, I get to know what my heart does. I'm trying to figure out how to make my body do things better, which will make my brain better. And obviously, hopefully my business better.
What I am trying to help people is love who they are and love what they do.
Yeah.
And I think that loving who you are is much more complicated than, you know, the words that describe it.
I think it's extreme. Honestly, that's a separate podcast. We should have started the show with you just saying the book is about loving who you are and loving what you do, because the truth is right there. Like, when you're really hard on yourself in a way that is unhealthy, then I think you probably don't love yourself. You're hung up on things. And I think that's like the root of a lot of people's problems. This isn't just entrepreneurs. It's like everybody. Like, why do you act this way?
I think that's where people are in pursuit of.
Yeah.
And what drives them. And sometimes they don't even know what they're in pursuit of. I think I will tell you, a lot of entrepreneurs are going to believe that it is the perspective of being viewed as a leader within an organization, that they made a lot of money. And like, if you really start peeling stuff back, and they're trying to validate their worth to people that have told them that they were unworthy. And at the end of the day, like, that doesn't matter. Even when they build it, those people won't validate them because they were never there to validate them.
No.
And
that's a sad realization, though. I did this because fuck you, that's why. And then the guy doesn't even notice. And you're like,
it is. And it actually will manifest itself in behavior that is not going to be productive. And that's where, like, that's what purpose first is what is my intent? What do I believe creates value that is bigger than me, but because of me, based on my values? That's where you have to keep on coming back and revisiting it. And that's what I try to do and explain in the book, is that that process allows you to connect to who you are and love who you are. You're going to be a much better leader as a result of that. And if you can manifest that in what you do, and it can be a mom, it can be a teacher, it can be a accountant, and it can be a founder of a unicorn company. And, you know, I just had this program with 4 unicorn builders. And I will tell you, like, they struggle and build and orient around the same way everybody else does. So I think that the good thing, though, is they kind of have a really good realization of where they are, which I think for those that are striving to achieve this, that it is probably less complex than they think it is. And success is really how you in the audience will define it. It's simply what I am trying to do is love who you are, love what you do, create a framework to allow you to think differently around those things so that you can establish your best self, because success is not guaranteed, but satisfaction in your life, kind of like walking off the field, knowing the best you could do. At the end of the day, like, that I think is how I live.
Listen, I think you summed it up really well. And having, you know, watched a portion of the program you did and some of the people who were on it, Jason Vandenboom is one that stands out to me. Let's put it this way. Building a unicorn wasn't the intention. It became, I'm sure, for a brief period of time when they were getting near where they could be raising and be kind of a unicorn status, I'm sure it became a focal point. But for the 13 years before that, it was just one thing at a time, one KPI, one, you know, one advancement, one hire, one new client, whatever. I really think that, like, entrepreneurially, personally, professionally, all of it, I think one of the biggest problems we have, and a lot of it, I'm just going to say, is a lot of this is social media bullshit, but it's existed before that. People have been unhappy since the beginning of time. But social media is one of those things that make it really easy to go from like zero to like Drake, like champagne poppy, because everything is just amazing and money's pouring everywhere. We don't focus on daily achievement. We don't focus on the stuff that's right in front of us, the little things. And I think when you start focusing on only the big things, the little things become insignificant. And then, of course, you're depressed because no one can sustain and have the biggest shit ever happen every single day. It's not possible. So you spend all day being depressed because you're not focused on the right shit.
Like, defining your success by your definition and what you are trying to achieve really comes back to the beginning of the book, is discovering and building this purpose first foundation. And what I go back into, and I try to create the framework, is that if you're making decisions against a goal, you're performing. So you have committed to try to achieve a goal. By simply saying that you're doing that, you are exposing yourself to the probability of failure. And that there's just a spectrum. You can either be successful or fail or be in between. But being aware of that, you are embracing that idea. What I tell people that they should really get oriented around is that that's always a possibility that is going to happen. However, evaluating how you perform to achieve that objective is more important than failure or success, because it's a measurement of who you are. And I think that fundamentally, where we get our most value is when we know that we've done our best to achieve our objectives. What I go back into, Scott, and we were talking a little bit about this before, is sometimes it is 100% you, your organization, your fault. Like, you didn't achieve it. But when you break it out and say, was it my ability? Was it my actions? Was it my decisions? Or was it my circumstances? It really allows you to dissect it in a way to be introspective on what that was. And I go through that in the book because I believe that people misidentify where the failure was many times, and they never course correct. They make the wrong assumptions on the variables that aren't there. And I think that becomes, okay, if I want to be my best self and I'm going to give myself my best, you know, I'm always going to do my best as a human being, giving yourself some framework that it's a lot more than just your ability or the energy you put into it is, I think, freeing, because it allows you to like say, okay, this makes more sense, because I can't just have, the only way I can look at this is success or failure. Like, there's a lot more than just that.
It's funny. I don't know if this is, we'll kind of end on this sort of note here, I guess, but like, I don't know how, where I, you will help me here categorize where, what the shift was, good or bad. I think for me, a few years ago, let's say I did not achieve whatever I set out to achieve. I could go out the night before, I could have some drinks, I could go to an event, we could do some things. I maybe stayed up late, I wasn't quite as focused, whatever. If it didn't work out, I could figure out really quickly what my excuse is to like why it didn't work out. Now, it's like the exact opposite. I'm trying to achieve things by like making sure that if I tend to operate better intermittent fasting and not having cocktails and not going, you know, to bed later than 9:30 and having my notes and things prepared in a certain way. If I achieve those five things, whether or not I succeed, I almost don't give a shit. Because I know that I've done every single, the excuse is I don't have one. The excuse is I did every single thing that was in my own power to do it. Maybe next time I'll be better. Maybe there's something I missed, whatever. Maybe I wasn't at peak. I did everything I could to get there. I think that's a mindset. It was really hard to change. It took several years. And I don't know if it's accountability or not. I don't know that that's necessarily where my problem was, but there was just something mentally where it was like, I could like BS my way through stuff. And so I just did, even with myself. Yeah. And now it's like, it's the same exercise is being done. It's not the success or failure or the end. It's like, did you do what you needed to be in the right spot to win? Does that make sense?
It does. And I think that, you know, what I would propose is that you feel like you have control of uncontrollable things. And I think as human beings, we strive to get that. And I think that to give yourself, and I think human beings as well, is that we have a lot of stress on us in a variety of different ways. And many times we relieve that stress in inefficient ways that create even more problems because of how we respond to taking that drink or staying up later or whatever it may be. It creates a circular motion that actually makes a small problem into a bigger problem. Totally. So taking control along those lines. The thing is, and this goes back to gaining control over those things, is that those are under your power, given that you're not addicted or you have some sort of health issue that, you know, we're going to assume you don't, because they're clearly, you need to be cognizant of that. It's a challenge because we are so conditioned that we want instant relief from pain. So we do things to get that. And so it builds on that. So I think that from my perspective, and that's a lot, what you'll see is getting you taking care of yourself puts you in a position that you actually make better decisions. You like that kind of behavior. Your neural pathways start to fuse together. So your endorphins start to fire. Now, oh, I'm feeling good. I'm sleeping better. And you start to create behavior that will be supportive. And that's really what, like when you're thinking of yourself as a startup athlete, you're creating a framework that you can just
good behave habits.
Better because you're mentally, emotionally, and physically better prepared to do those things. So that would be like my perspective. You know, I'm not a psychologist by any means, but I think that these things are pretty, they're applied to a lot of those decisions. And I think that I try to extract that information and apply it into how I present the stuff in the book as well.
No, I think you did. And I can't wait to finish the book up. Obviously, in the chapters I've read, I particularly chapter 10, we're talking about during the show for the most part, I align with it. And I think that there's a lot of people out there who do, and a lot of people who maybe do, but don't have the words or the vocabulary that you put in the book to describe what they're thinking or what they're missing or what they're feeling. And I would ask people to go ahead and get the book. I think it's worth reading and understanding from an entrepreneurial perspective, but I don't think it necessarily has to be for entrepreneurs. I think really anyone who wants to achieve more with what they have would probably benefit from it.
So, and I think you said something that connects on it too. I mean, I think purpose first entrepreneur, you know, the entrepreneur element's more of a archetype than it is an occupation. And I think it is also is the idea is, you know, there is more, I am more. And I think it just, it is not meant to be do this. It's a recipe, but it's more, here's a framework of how I can apply what I believe to this and live a life that is defined by me, my best self, which I think is a really healthy way. And I think this is a great book for aspiring entrepreneurs, those that are kind of committing to new journeys career-wise, and for the new year, holidays are coming up. And once again,
special someone a good book to read.
Or your company, give it to people to really kind of rally behind your purpose. So I have enjoyed this conversation. I'm enjoying all the conversations that I'm having. I like it when people kind of poke at some of my ideas, and that's really the foundation to have a dialogue around something that I think is pretty powerful stuff. So go to purposefirstentrepreneur.com, or you can go right to Amazon, Purpose First Entrepreneur, Pete Wilkins. Or if you just want to get the workbook, which is free, you can download it by going to the site.
If you're interested in self-directed investing from startups to crypto and public markets, my Substack is a great way to learn how professional investors screen, review, and pull the trigger on deals. Join the largest community of micro investors and startup founders on Substack by going to Katoon.com.